Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Sai's glory, his divine story. Every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna signing in live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. Welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live, coming to you from the Radio Sai Studios in Prashanti Nilayam, where the time right now is 38 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Today is Thursday, October the 12th, 2017, and we are experiencing a mix of sun and cloud in the ashram, but more cloud and less sun, and expecting a high of 34 degrees Celsius later in the afternoon, overnight lows 21. Traffic in downtown Puttaparthi is moving normally with a few auto rickshaws choosing to turn suddenly without any signal. That's nearly normal. And that aside, devotees are arriving in large numbers, as are Sai schools from various states of India, to perform their epic dramas, dances and music in the divine presence. Life, dear listeners, is an ongoing celebration at the abode of Supreme Peace, and we are super delighted to be part of this sacred carnival. The other highlight from our divine orbit is that, after years, the sacred river Chitravati has started to flow, at least for now. It all started with the rains that descended upon the divine valley during Navratri, and the downpour continued for a few hours almost every night till about 2 days back. That helped our parched riverbed to fill up and start her glide downstream. We just hope the water doesn't dry up too soon, so we're just keeping our fingers crossed. In other news, on behalf of the entire team at Radio Sai, I wish to thank all our listeners around the world who sent us their loving birthday wishes for our respected Professor G. Venkatraman. GV sir, as he's known around here, has asked me to convey his personal gratitude and appreciation for your kind sentiments. All your emails and wishes were forwarded to him. He told me that he's too occupied to respond individually, so I could do that for him over Morning Glory, and I'm happy to do that. And as you know, he's a man with a mission who has much work to accomplish, miles to go to complete the state-of-the-art Sri Satya Sai archives and other important Sai mission projects. Now that the 85th birthday celebrations of GV Sir are concluded, we are getting ready for many more celebrations in the ashram. One of the most happening days in our October calendar here in the ashram and around the world is the Avatar Declaration Day. And it is very special for the women alumni of Bhagwan's Anantapur College and the primary and higher secondary school here. I will soon introduce you to my studio guest who will bring you up to speed on this event. After this interview with Dr. P.L. Rani, who is already here with me, I will bring you a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity. This is an interview with the Sai youth leader from the United Kingdom, Mr. Devesh Tankaria. All that coming up after I debut the new signature tune for the show Morning Glory. As a matter of fact, almost all our shows are debuting new signature tunes either this week or from next week. And all these tunes have been composed by our in-house musical genius, Mr. Anirudh Srinivasan. Have a listen to the new signature tune for Morning Glory now. And from next week Thursday, with Swami's grace, that is Diwali Day, I will begin to open the show with this tune. Today is just a curtain raiser, a sneak peek. So have a listen, please.
Thank you.
How about that for Morning Glory signature tune? Now, that tune was composed by Brother Anirudh Srinivas, and almost throughout the day, most of our shows are going to begin with new signature tunes either today or from next Thursday. And we'd love to have your feedback on those. As always, you can reach us by email at listener@radiosci.org. With that, dear listeners, I'm very happy to welcome my studio guest, Dr. P.L. Rani, to Morning Glory. Dr. P.L. Rani is an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, Anandpur campus, and currently she heads the Department of English there. Sairam, Dr. Rani, and welcome to Morning Glory on Thursday Live.
Sairam Karuna Didi, and thank you for having me over here.
It's a pleasure. Now tell us, bring us up to speed, what is this big buzz we are hearing, all the excitement about the women alumni coming together for the upcoming Avatar Declaration Day?
To me, I think October 20th is actually a confluence of two things, a commemoration and a celebration.
Uh-huh.
Commemoration because it's to mark the historic event of the Divine announcing Himself on this earth. And celebration because it is a human bond with the Divine that we will celebrate. So for me, it's two-in-one event. So we all know from our reading of Satyam Shivam Sundaram that Swami, as a 14-year-old lad, behaved very weird, as they called it, to the society. And so his father and brother walked up to him and said, "Tell us who you are. Are you a ghost? Are you an evil spirit?" And that's when he said, "I am Sai Baba." And of course, then the next question followed. They said, "So what have we to do with you?" Then he said, "Worship me. Worship me every Thursday. Clean your homes, wear white clothes, and worship me." So I think we are actually commemorating that historic moment in the descent of the avatar on this earth. So we cannot let it pass without noticing it. On the other hand, it's also the Alumni Day, luckily for all of us. And here we are celebrating this bond of divine love that we have shared with Bhagwan in his human form. We have been so lucky to have been a part of his educare. I think I can never thank him enough for allowing me to be a beneficiary of his education given with so much care that we like to call it educare and never education. So these two things are coming together on October 20th. So the last couple of years, a lot of us have been coming back home to Puttaparthi, and then in what little way we can offer our gratitude, love to Swami.
Mm-hmm.
That's what is gearing up now for the next 1 week.
Wow, a lot of excitement. Now, who's eligible to participate in this event, Dr. Rani?
I think anyone who's graduated from the Anandpur College of Bhagwan's University, those who've passed out of the Satya Sai Higher Secondary Primary Schools, the women alumni, all of us, essentially, who have been part of the educare offered by the Satya Sai Central Trust, and graduated from the Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, we're all actually happy and welcome to come back to Prashanti.
That's very nice to know. I believe this is year 3 or 4 of this event.
Yes, it is year 3 of the after we resumed the event, after a little lull.
I see. Could you give us a little bit of a history about it, please?
As much as I hear, Swami himself had taken a lot of personal care and attention the initial days to get all the alumni together. And we had a very grand and very heart-touching program. It used to happen December 25th for a lot many years, and I personally remember Bhagwan. In fact, coincidentally, I don't know, Karuna Didi, if you remember, that both of us were together at a talk in Purnachandra in the year 95 for the alumni meet.
That's right.
But unfortunately, for some reasons, for a little time, we were inert and inactive, and we really didn't get together. So after post-2011, I think there was this feeling that we should bond together better as children of Swami. And also, come back more active as the alumni to carry forward Bhagwan's mission. So under the initiative of our former warden, Pushpa Madam, who went and got us the permissions required from the trust and the university to authenticate this program, we've joined together. And, you know, the first year, that is, I think, 2015, the October 20th, it also fell on the Durgashtami during Navratri.
Oh, very
so
auspicious.
For me, it seemed like, you know, we didn't have plans for a major gala event. So we just wanted to have some time with Bhagwan as his daughters. So we sat in the Kulwant Hall, just all of us and Swami. No intrusions, nobody, no public was allowed after the Yajna, right up to the evening Veda. We had this day-long bhajan. And I would think that is one of those moments which felt like an interview with Swami, when you were just you and Swami in the interview room. Just all of us and Swami the entire day in Kulwant Hall. It was such a nice feeling. So, and more people started getting, you know, interested to be a part of this. And that's how last year we went a little, you know, ahead with planning, and we had some talks and some music program all by alumni. This time it's getting even better, I would think.
With each passing year, I guess, with experiences getting structured
in a
nice way. And where is it going to be organized? Is the entire event in the Sai Kulwant Hall, or are there other breakaway sessions?
I must tell you, this year, it also happens to be, October 20th also happens to be the Gujarati New Year.
Right.
So we definitely wanted to allow our Gujarati brothers and sisters coming from Gujarat to have their time with Bhagwan. So 20th morning, they will have their program in the Kulwant Hall. And we are taking the 20th evening and the 21st morning in the Kulwant Hall to offer our gratitude to Swami. But meanwhile, we'll also have 20th morning around 10-ish, a satsang in the satsang hall. And in the night at 7 o'clock, again in the satsang hall, some senior trust members talking to us. We'll also practice our group songs and discuss how to go about the program next year and so on and so forth. Share experiences, meet one another, and all that we will do. And 21st morning after the program, mm-hmm. the highlight of this year is that 100 and odd of us have actually volunteered to participate in some seva activity inside the ashram premises. So that's going to be something that is different and special.
And we know how dear seva is to Bhagwan. There's
Absolutely.
Nothing like bending the body and, you know, mending the senses to end the mind. And Swami said the fastest track to spiritual progress in this age is through selfless service. So even if it's tokenism, we get to do something for a few hours once a year together as sisters. I think it will be hugely beneficial for us.
Now, I was also kind of moved by the response that the very, very senior batches of our sisters have shown towards this. Because I believe in those years, for all the major events in Puttaparthi, the Anandpur students would serve at the canteen or wash the dishes and do a lot of seva, which is not so much the case now. So I found this overwhelming response from the earlier batches to actually take part in the seva, to bring back those good old memories.
Yeah.
And also, I think Swami used this to teach us the dignity of labor and a lot of things for ourselves, because we always do seva for ourselves, not for the others, right?
Mm.
So, in that sense, that's going to be exclusive and different.
And that sounds, I think, very exciting, because in the 80s, when I was a student also, I remember Swami reposed so much confidence in Anandpur girls, and they were given so many responsibilities around the ashram. I have learned my sales techniques from selling vibhuti in the vibhuti stall for years in summer. And I also recall that our evening program would end in the Purnachandra, and then we would have a rush dinner, and we would work through the night till our turn came to go to the limited washrooms we had for a shower and go back for duty immediately. So day blended into night, into sunrise, and we were constantly either rolling chapatis or making laddus.
Cutting vegetables.
Or making laddus through the night.
Yes.
And singing bhajans while doing it. And that joy of serving together, shoulder to shoulder with your sisters, with the name of the Lord, with that common love that we have for Swami, it was just totally mesmerizing. I would never think that something which is physically so strenuous would give you so much of joy.
Exactly.
You think having a luxurious experience can give a joy? Of course it can. But doing something which is so non-luxurious can give you a higher joy and pleasure and a deep memory. I don't remember how many times I've been on a nice, maybe a sailboat or done something fun in life. But this is etched in my mind that Swami gave us a chance to do seva.
Absolutely.
And it left so much, it brought out so much love from our hearts that Swami gave us that chance and thought us worthy of being His instruments.
Exactly, exactly.
I think seva is something really that all of us are going to be looking forward to. Now, in the past few years that we have started this event, last 2 years, has there been any feedback from the alumni who have come here, Dr. Rani?
Oh, that's a very interesting question, because just yesterday, We were talking about a documentary that we're trying to put together for October 20th.
Uh-huh.
And we were discussing what we could include in that. And the Sulakshana, who's actually working on the documentary, told me something very interesting. There is this sister from Bangalore by name Usha who's written to us to say, last year's event was a turning point in her life. And that's a very interesting story. I'll quickly, very briefly narrate it to you. So she says she was going through a very depressing point of her family life. And she was almost deciding to quit family life closer to this function. So she packed her bags and got along the little money that she had and left to Puttaparthi to first take part in the October 20th program. Then she said she didn't know after the program where she would go because she definitely didn't want to walk back into her family. So having come here and there is this bond and everything else that Swami always told us and, you know, how the girls should be and how we should carry forward our families and all that came flooding back to her mind. And she said, Swami, if you want me to go back into family, you have to give me a big clue. I should get a sign or a message from you saying that I must go back.
Mm.
And then she thought, what could that be? And she said, what better than maybe kumkum, which is so representative of family and, you know, a married life. So the day one passed and 19th she registered and she went around. Nobody seemed to offer her any kumkum. And day two, morning program was over. And then we all met at the satsang hall for our own, you know, internal satsang. And that's when some boxes were being passed around. There were small mementos for everyone to get blessed and carry back home as a memory of this trip. And she opened the box, and you know what was inside, right? Mm. There's this golden duck, which is a kumkum dabba, and we had filled it with the kumkum from the yagna, from the Purnahuti, from the
Navratri
yagna, which has just got over. She said it shocked her to see that it came directly into her hands. And I suppose she's back in her family and happy.
Very so, nice.
Yeah,
heartwarming.
That is, yeah, very, very, very. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the feedback that, you know, we received, which really touched my heart. And
yeah, it is beautiful. And I found a lot of girls were very emotional. For them, they didn't realize how much they had missed Bhagwan and that connection with Prashanthi Nilayam till they came. When they came, they had this floodgate of emotion just open up. And many of them were almost like little girls running helter-skelter, meeting up their friends, catching up with others. And in the mandir, there were a lot of tears flowing. I think tears of joy. Swami used to call them bliss drops. That opportunity to just sit in front of the Mahasannidhi and sing his glory and recall the love we have, unconditional, infinite love of Bhagwan that we have received as his daughters. Sometimes it's so easy to be ungrateful.
True.
And this was such a great reminder that there's no greater sin than lack of gratitude. And we can come up with a million excuses for not doing something or not making it to an event or not participating in something. But where there is a will, I think there is a way. You just have to pray to Swami and he opens the path and he makes it happen.
No, talking about this, how he will make it happen, actually, we had another very revealing incident day before yesterday. So I think I didn't mention that another exclusive feature of this year's program is the alumni women alumni band.
Oh, very nice to hear that.
Yeah, they're trying to come together to put up a short program for Swami. So it means a lot of coordination from all across the country. People are in different places. They probably lost touch with their music instruments for some time now. So a lot of work going on. And around day before evening, they buzzed me to say they're a little weak on the bass, the bass instruments, and one or two of them who wanted to come was dropping out. The sousaphone is not going to be able to play. So they were very concerned, and they were looking at permutation combinations to make it sound better. Could we do this? Could we do that? Nothing seemed a real good solution. So we went to bed rather desperate about how to, you know, it's just a week away and what to do about this. The next day I was at work and then I saw some unidentified number, a WhatsApp message which said, ma'am, I'm reaching Parthi on 19th and I'm there till 21st, so how can I help with this event? I did this very generic answer. I said, whatever you find happening around, just feel free to join in. I didn't even think further beyond about it. I came home from work and maybe sometime later in the, you know, late afternoon, evening, I went back to see who it was because I didn't even really have the time to look up who it was. And then I looked at the display picture and said, oh, this face looks familiar. Probably she was a band girl.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't ask her because, you know, the band girls would feel bad if I didn't remember them. And if I asked her, were you in the band? So I said, do you think you can help with the band? She said, yeah, of course. It'd be such a pleasure to get back all those memories. Then I was sure my guess was right. So I said, did you play the baritone? She said, yes. I said, where do you live? She said, Bangalore. I said, do you think you can pitch in and play? She said, yes, of course. And when I got back to the band group and told them that, look here, somebody out of the blue, probably a decade away that she last spoke to me, out of the blue, she just appears and tells me, give me something to do, and she's going to do the baritone. It was a huge signal for all of us that he is in control and not really those of us who think we are, you know, networking and communicating and trying to do things.
Now we know who's heading the organizing committee.
Absolutely.
We always know that, of course. Now, Dr. Rani, how big and spread out is the women's alumni community?
I think
Aswami students.
All over the world, in every part and corner of the world, I would say. It's just so widespread. Just that not everybody is able to make it, but I also think next year being the golden jubilee of the Anandpur campus and Bhagwan's educational mission, actually, 1968, if you remember, Swami started the Anandpur College, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be exactly 50 years, and that's something we all should be celebrating. And it's my wishful thinking that all of us who passed out of this university meet together at Bhagwan's lotus feet for that event.
So, dear sisters, if you're listening, please mark. If not, I hope you're coming on next Friday, which is 20th of October 2017, and also mark 20th October 2018 on your calendars. That's the 50th anniversary of Swami's educational renaissance, when he decided to reform the education system of India and he began with women's education. So we owe him a huge debt of gratitude for being our cheerleader for feminism, for spiritual feminism, for empowering women through education based on the EduCare model. So please do join us next year, October 20th, 2018 also, and mark it on your calendar, where Swami will make it happen. Where there is a will, there is always a way. Now, if those who are coming, Dr. Rani, how do they sign up for the event?
Oh, typically, sometime soon after the Guru Purnima, the senior alumni members who live and work around in Prashantinilayam and Anandpur, they meet and they come up with a Google form where they can sign up. So this Google form has gone around on the Daughters of Sai groups, in the portal, via emails, friends to friends, batches to batches, and so on. So people have all signed up. About 200 plus have already signed up. And the form also is quite exhaustive in the sense it will let you, you know, tell us when you're arriving, what kind of accommodation, whether for the family or just for yourself, how many days, what do you want to participate in, like, you know, would you want to be a part of the Veda group or bhajan singing or sharing experience. So the Google form, the spreadsheet will give us a whole idea of how many people are coming. So the form has already gone around. And if anybody after listening to this still wants it, they can make an inquiry in the Daughters of Sai group or meet their, ask around with their classmates, or I think it's also on the Facebook, if I'm sure. So,
yeah, and if not, just write to me, please, at karuna@radiosai.org, and I'll forward your email to the organizing committee, who will send you the link. Now, as I heard the word families, can girls come with their families?
Of course, especially because it's Diwali the previous day. Be very sure that you will get accommodation, even if you come with your families, and we'll do what all that we can to make you feel comfortable at Mother Sai's home.
Mm, nice to hear that. Who exactly is hosting this year's event in terms of batches? We have a system in place now?
We are trying to arrive at a system, because otherwise it's usually just a couple of us who are around here who will have to look at it year after year, and we want everybody to feel like they are participating and get involved. So we said 68 is the first batch, 68 right up to 1980.
Mm-hmm.
All the batches together can host this. So Madam Nina Bardalai, who works in the primary school, has taken the lead to organize it this year, and the rest of us are helping her out with different events.
I see. And for next year's event, we will choose this year people who studied from 1981
80s.
Onwards.
Yes, yes.
Okay, that batch. So I'm sure there are many sisters who have great organizing skills and experience, and they will we will have opportunities to meet informally and pick the next organizing committee for one committee for each year, right?
Yeah, we thought it shouldn't be the same people all through. So except for an honorary advisor who's Pushpa Madam
yes.
and the warden of the women's campus, whoever presently Dr. Kiran Bala ma'am, and whoever it is at whichever point in time, and will be the continuing members, and maybe one or two people stationed at Puttaparthi to help out with the nitty-gritties, and then three people from the batches that are organizing. So this forms the core group that will discuss for every year.
Well, that's very nice to know. Now, what's your message to our sisters around the globe who may be listening to Morning Glory right now?
Whether you listen to this now or later in the day as a link, I would think, I am very, very sure that this is one bond that you cannot afford to ignore, our bond with our beloved Swami. So, very fine if you are here physically present, but otherwise, in spirit, totally in spirit, I'm sure you will be with us October 20th, and this time also October 21st morning, and mark your calendars to fly down next year, if not this year. And let's be sure, I just want to make a postscript here, that this is the only event that is authenticated by the Sathya Sai Central Trust and the Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning for its alumni to gather. There are a lot of alumni meets that happen, but let our sisters also know that we all graduated from the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, so it behoves us to come to Prashanti to meet together as the alumni of SSSIHL.
Thank you for clarifying that, Dr. Rani. And dear sisters, I just want to make a mention, just in case for any reason you're not able to make it this year, don't lose heart. Radio Sai is always there. Bhagwan has always given us this medium, so there will be a live webcast of whatever is happening in the Sai Kulwanthal. We will try, whatever is happening in the Sai Kulwanthal, you can watch it on your screens if you have the mobile app at radiosai.org, and it will be telecast live, and you can even catch up a deferred download later. However, whatever is happening informally when we meet with the elders or between our sisters, we'll try every now and then. Last year I was making quite an attempt. This year I think some of our younger sisters who are very tech savvy, they will keep putting it up on Facebook Live. So stay tuned to the university. The Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning has an official Facebook page, and we'll get permission to post it there, and few of us will post it on our Facebook page, so you can watch some of the proceedings live, so you don't feel left out. In spirit, you will participate for sure, thanks to technology. Let's put it to good use, not to misuse. So that opportunity exists, so do not lose heart. And as Rani said, next year you better be here, because we have given you more than 365 days to plan your trip. And any your final thoughts, Dr. Rani?
I said I want to close with the same thought with which I started, that it's a two-in-one event. We celebrate the divine in the human form. We celebrate the bond of human love with the divine. So both are so important to ennoble our lives, to sanctify our lives. And I think, therefore, I feel personally so blessed to be a part of this event.
Well, thank you very much, Dr. P.L. Rani, for your sharing. We hope all our sisters who have received this gift of Sai education from Swami's primary school, higher secondary school, or the Anantapur College are going to come home for the spiritual, emotional recharge and reconnect this Avatar Declaration Day, which is next Friday, October the 20th, 2017. Dear sisters, come home for Diwali with your families. You can register, and the alumni's organizing committee will take care of the rest, your accommodation and such. And all of you, dear listeners, alumni included, are welcome to send us your feedback to this morning's interview with Dr. P.L. Rani. Our feedback email ID remains listener@radiosai.org. With that, I'm going to leave you to enjoy a brand new episode of Tryst with Divinity with Mr. Divesh Tankaria of the United Kingdom. He's in conversation with my colleague and Radio Sai's very own Mr. Vishu Prushti. Please enjoy the rest of the show, and I will meet you right here, same time, same day next week. Till then, do me a favor, please. For no reason at all, please, will you just smile and smile widely? Smile with your heart and your eyes and your liver and your kidney and your all. Because everything is all right, even though it may not seem so at times. Swami's in charge, and he's looking out for each one of us. Here's wishing you a saisome awesome day ahead, and have a listen to Mr. Divesh Tankaria in conversation with Bishop Rushti. Jai Sai Ram.
Saram, dear listeners, and welcome to Tryst with Divinity, our series of conversations with people who have been touched by the love of Bhagwan Baba. The Guru Purnima celebrations just got over yesterday. Today is the 10th of July 2017. It is early in the morning and Bhagwan has sent to the studios Brother Divesh Tankaria from United Kingdom. It's a very heartening moment to have him here with us in the studio because he has just been appointed as the International Young Adult Coordinator for Satya Sai International Organization. And Brother Divesh works for the Government of UK as the Assistant Director of Strategy and Policy in the Home Office. Someone who has been brought up looking up to Swami as a family member. Someone who comes from a legacy where four generations of his ancestors have been in Bhagwan's fold. So as he grew up looking up to Swami as his father, his mother, his everything. Almost right from the time he was a few months old, he's been coming to Puttaparthi every year. And now, quite unexpectedly, Bhagwan has blessed him with such a beautiful and quite challenging opportunity. And Divesh is here with us to share his moments of learning, his moments of growing up with Swami. So welcome, Divesh, to Radio Sai.
Saram, dear brother. Offering my most loving pranams at Bhagwan's divine lotus feet and thanking our most dearest Lord for this most wonderful opportunity. Brothers, dearest listeners, Jai Sai Ram.
So how does it feel? You've just been appointed as the International Young Adult Coordinator. Is it heartening? It is intimidating? Or is it... Are you thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this?
So when I was first asked to be the International Young Adults Coordinator, my very first response was no.
Oh,
and the reason why I said no was not because it's Swami's work. I was saying no because I did not think I was the most qualified person for this role. But on reflection and through various miracles, my people just happened to call me at the same time and offer me guidance and love and support and speaking to my family, my parents, I came to realize that I may not be the absolutely most qualified person for the role. But I am the chosen one and chosen by Bhagwan. And likewise, each of us have given an opportunity to serve in the organization in various capacities. We have all been handpicked by Bhagwan for this role and been trusted with this role. And I'm fully aware of the immense responsibility. And I'm deeply humbled that a very small person like me, a drop in the ocean, Swami is handpicked for this role. So deeply humbled and deeply, deeply grateful to Bhagwan for this most wonderful opportunity.
When Bhagwan gives a responsibility, he always immediately, instantly gives the ability. All we have to do is ensure that we feel his proximity in our heart. So I think the moment you feel that you have been given a role, that he has picked you for this role, I think that is enough. With that will come the energy. His love energy will fill us and we will see how he works through us so beautifully. So tell us, Divesh, your beautiful moments as a child with Swami, because you know you are someone who grew up in a setting where I think the moment you started speaking and learning around you and walking, you always perhaps saw Swami's pictures, right?
Absolutely, yes, Father. It's an interesting story. So when my parents got married in the late 70s, early 80s, they came to seek Swami's blessing shortly after their marriage. And this was during the time where there was sandy grounds of Prashanthi
yes.
Niliams. The Saikulwant Hall wasn't the Saikulwant Hall.
Yeah.
We had just sand and...
Yes.
and
coconut trees and arches.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's during those times. And on arrival, Swami immediately came to my mother at that time and asked her how she was, how was her husband? And then Swami said, you know, he's a very nice man.
Mm-hmm.
And then interestingly, Swami shortly said, come back next year with a son.
Oh, wow.
So true to Bhagwan's words, a year later, I was born with Bhagwan's divine love and blessings. So at a baby of 10 to 11 months old, we returned back to Prashanthi Niliam. And then Swami immediately came over. And at which point, I was a toddler. So I picked up Swami's, I got up holding Swami's robe.
Oh.
and started taking my very first few steps on the grounds of Prashanthi Niliam. And then Bhagwan blessed us again. And then said, next time. So not next year, next time. Come with a daughter. And 3 years later, my sister was born.
Wow.
And then interestingly, 1998, Swami called us for an interview, and we called this same story and this same incident, showing that, you know, he's the all-knowing, loving Lord.
Wow, that is so sweet, so beautiful. You know what, the most touching thing for me is that you held on to Swami's robe as a little one, and you got up, and then Swami blessed you. And I think that is a beautiful imagery for everything that perhaps is happening or is going to happen in your life. All you have to do is just hold on to his robe and he will lift you up. So what are those other moments in your life, you know, when you experienced these moments of holding on to him and then feeling his grace?
So there's an interesting incident which happened in 2004. So a group of friends and I went on holiday to Greece. And we were, you know, very youthful, energetic. The sun was shining, and as we were on holiday, and life was pretty good. So we decided to get a car and travel the island in an open-top Jeep.
Okay.
So we set off our journey, and we're kind of climbing on this mountain, and we're going higher and higher and higher, enjoying the various sceneries and the sunshine. And it was a nice trip. We were enjoying the company of each other. Then all of a sudden, my friend drove the car around the bend, and then he mistook the accelerator pedal for the brake pedal. So as he was going around the corner, he accelerated. So this open-top Jeep was heading off the cliff. So in panic, he swerved the car, and the car spun around the corner, during which process I was thrown out of the car, head first onto a concrete slab, and then the car hit this one block which was on the side of the mountain, preventing the car from topping over and falling down onto the mountain. So the next thing I realized was that I wake up in a hospital bed, because I was unconscious from the incident, and I wake up in a hospital bed just lying there, not knowing what's happened. So then the various doctors came and told me what the incident was. And I remember sitting there, closing my eyes, and having a conversation with Swami. And the conversation was, Swami, why me? I am your devotee. You are like my mother, my father, my everything. And out of all these people, why me? And I remember sitting there lying on that bed. And as soon as I woke up and I opened my eyes, there was this man dressed in an orthodox Greek outfit, with a cross in his hand at the end of my bed. And just how Swami waves his hand, he waved his hand and said, don't worry. And then shortly later, he went. So I spoke to the lady next to me. So it was an older lady looking after her father. And I said, who was this man? And she said, well, he looks like some priest, but I've been here for many months. I've never seen him before. So I said, well, okay, you know, it's a coincidence. Maybe a priest was doing his rounds and just happened to be there. So as a child and up until this stage, one of my methods of communicating with Swami, whenever I come to Prashantinilayam, is always to write him a letter. And Swami's grace, he always took my letter. But when I'm not in Prashantinilayam, my communication methods with him would be to write a note and place it in the river, which is near my house, and watch it sail away. with the expectation that, you know, he'll read that letter and it'll reach the destination.
So you communicate to the Creator through his creation. You put it in the nature.
Absolutely.
So that goes to the Maker.
Absolutely. So then this lady, all of a sudden, looks at me and she says, don't worry, I receive all your letters. So now I said, sorry? And then she said, the letters that come in the sea, I receive all your letters.
And this lady says that?
This lady says that, sitting next to me. So then we had this priest doctor, then we had this lady within a space of a few hours to say that to me. So then my confirmation that, you know, Swami is actually with me.
Who is this lady?
She was just a lady looking after her sick father. He was on the bed beside me.
But she said this, all your letters, I receive whatever you send it through the sea.
Absolutely. So I didn't ask any further questions, because for me, that was enough.
Wow.
And then she gave me a lovely picture of Christ, just as a gift. She goes, you know, keep this with you, you'll be protected. And then I didn't ask any further questions, because my confirmation that Swami was with me grew a bit stronger. And I say grew a bit stronger. Hand on heart, have I completely surrendered that this was all Swami's will? At that time, the answer was no. So there was still a little element of doubt that maybe these two are both coincidence. That you know, the why me factor was still in the back of my mind. So then I got released from the hospital because I was due to fly back to London.
So you were fine, there was no problem.
So I fractured my collarbone, it snapped in two pieces.
Oh my God.
I cracked my skull at the back. And the doctor said, in fact, I was very lucky to still be alive, given the impact of the injury. But the doctors reluctantly signed me off, discharged me from hospital to go back to the United Kingdom to continue my medication. And during which process, that I said to the doctors, look, can I have a list of the medications? Because you've just been injecting me left, right and center, giving me various medications, and I've been unconscious for most of the time, so I'm not sure. So the first thing that the medics will ask me when I go back to London is, what medication have you had? And the doctor said, we haven't got time, go, go, go. And I said, look, please, can you write me something? So reluctantly, they wrote something in Greek, and not even in English. But I said, look, it's better than nothing. So I took it, rushed straight to the airport, caught my flight, and flew back to London. First thing, landing in London, was straight to the hospital to see the doctors. The doctors asked me to immediately go into the room for an examination, and the first thing the doctor asked me was, can I have your medical records? So at which point I'm passing her this piece of paper and apologizing because it's all in Greek, telling her I'm not sure what medication I've had, I'm deeply worried, they were giving me injections at night, they were giving me tablets in the morning, and I carried on letting her know. Then this doctor started laughing. So then I stopped my conversation. I said, doctor, with due respect, I've had this injury. I'm pouring out my heart to you and you're laughing at me. And she said, the reason why I'm laughing at you is in this big hospital, there is one Greek doctor and I am the Greek doctor and I can fully read exactly what's written on this piece of paper. So that might, the confirmation now that Swami has always been with me and guiding me throughout this journey became a lot stronger. And I even be telling the story now, I'm getting goosebumps speaking to you. So we had the examinations and the outcome was I'll have to have major surgery on my collarbone because it snapped in half. So they gave me a grace period of 4 to 5 months to see if it's healed. And if it hasn't healed, we have to have major surgery. So after 5 months, we had another x-ray and the bone had infused and it was still snapped in half. So they said you have to have surgery to put a plate and join the bones together. My head was fine, but I've just got a scar, but my collarbone was snapped. So anyway, I'm booked for this major surgery. And a day before the surgery, I get called in for like a pre-examination. And part of the routine examination is an x-ray to make sure that they have the latest records. So I had the x-ray and then the doctor called me in for the pre-examination talk. And during the pre-examination talk, the doctor said, I've actually cancelled your operation for tomorrow.
Really?
Because I can see the bone has fused and there's no need for operation. I don't know how it's happened, but it's happened and the bone has fused. So at that time of the incident, if I recall, it was a very traumatic incident. And if I recall, the first conversation with Swami was, why me? And on reflection, I probably scare my family and my friends close to me, but I wouldn't mind going through the same experience again because of Swami's divine love and divine omnipresence showing me that he is truly with us and we have to surrender everything to me. On reflection, I hadn't surrendered everything to him. I had doubts, and that's why at various journeys or various points, he kept showing how he's with us, what is the purpose of our existence, and how he's always with us at every single moment of time. In times of difficulties, in times of happiness, our dearest loving Lord is always with us. All we've got to do is completely surrender everything at his divine lotus feet.
Wow. I mean, he repaired you through his love. He fixed you, fused your bones just through his love. And the most beautiful part, I think, when I think about your incident is, you know, how Swami was time and again telling that, you know, I am there, I'm coming to you through so many people. You know, he came through that priest, he came through that lady, he came through this doctor. So that Swami that you knew as a child was becoming different, right? You know, now you don't know how Swami is going to come. At every point in time, Swami is coming to you. You don't know how, in which form he is going to come to you next. Mm-hmm. I think maybe that was also a journey that you were going through, isn't it?
Absolutely, I think so. As a young child, Swami for me was always a father figure. Then he moved into more of a grandfather figure as I grew up. But he's always a family member. I never as a young child saw him as God. And always saw him as my family member, so not even other people's family, my Swami. And that was the relationship I had. And in fact, the turning point for me was in 2004. So I was part of a big group that came for a medical camp. And I remember doing this medical camp and serving the many villages around the surrounding areas and working unity with many devotees. And I remember sitting in the Gurdwara hall at that time and the penny dropped. I realized the enormity of Bhagwan's love, and I realized the enormity of this relationship that every devotee has with Swami. And I realized at that time, it is not my Swami only. Swami is there for all of us, and is always there for all of us, and each and every one of us has that special one-to-one, heart-to-heart connection with our dearest Lord. So at which point I then realized the enormity of Swami's work, His love and His message. And from that day onwards, my prayer to Swami wasn't always about me. He's always been, Bhagwan, how can I serve you and how can I serve in your mission?
Wow, that is so fantastic. I mean, till then you were thinking, He's my Swami, my Swami. But now you know that so many like you are also saying the same thing, He's my Swami, my
Absolutely.
Swami.
Absolutely.
And I think that is why He's God, right? A million people can tell He's my Swami and still every person can feel that experience of my Swami feeling,
yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. Is that heart-to-heart loving connection, yes, that Swami has with everyone? You speak to any devotees and all of us has got a story, has got a miracle,
yes,
has got that connection with Swami. And His love radiates all over the world. The Satyasai International Organization operates in over 120 countries with 2,000 Sai centers. And this is the magnitude of Swami's work all over the world.
I think that is a very, very landmark moment in your life because, you know, that sort of prepared you for something bigger in Swami's mission. I'm sure it would have just opened up the perspective of who is Swami. And I think perhaps you're ready for bigger roles. Like, that's the time when you started saying that, Swami, please let me be of use in your mission. And that prayer which started in 2004 has in a manner of sorts fructified in 2017 when now Bhagwan, after shaping you for so many years, now gave you this beautiful responsibility. I know it's an enormous responsibility, but it is such a prized gift from Bhagwan. But tell me, do you at any sometimes feel that, you know, I am just into my career, I've got this beautiful job with the government and I really need to perform in my office and this is such a huge responsibility. How am I going to manage my time? Can I really deliver, do 100% as the international coordinator as well as do 100% working for the government of United Kingdom? Anytime did you have such kind of thoughts?
So Father, let me recall a beautiful incident. So in my early career and the early parts of my career, when I was getting more involved in the organization, that thought did cross my mind. I don't have time. You know, I've got my career, I've got my life, I've got, how am I going to balance everything? You know, Swami will always be there, so He'd be happy, He's fine. I don't need to serve in His organ, my time will come later. And all these thoughts were coming through my head all the time.
Yeah, you should feel like now I really need to concentrate on my career and
Absolutely.
Settle down in my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's not as if I am disrespecting Swami or something, but I really need to focus on this.
Exactly, absolutely. Mm. So these thoughts were running through my head. But a wonderful quote that always to this day I resonate by is that if you do my work, I will do your work.
Mm-hmm.
And Swami has shown this in all aspects of my life. I'll tell you a little secret of this, that I am a living witness,
mm-hmm,
doing Swami's work and then Swami taking care of your work. I'll relate an incident with you. Before I do, just to give you some context, every time I've taken up a role in the organization by Bhagwan's guidance and loving gratitude to Bhagwan for giving me the opportunity, Bhagwan has always at the same time given me a promotion at work.
Oh,
it's always happened.
Really? So you get promoted to the Satyasai organization, a parallel promotion happens in office?
Absolutely. So when I was appointed the zone youth coordinator, I had a promotion at work at the same, within the space of 10 days a week.
Wow.
When I got appointed the deputy international young adults coordinator, within the space of a week, 10 days, I got promoted also at work. When
wow.
I got appointed the international young adults coordinator, I again at the same time was appointed a promotion at work, and I wasn't actively...
So now you became assistant director?
Yes. With Swami's divine love.
Wow.
Absolutely. And that's Swami's love. You know, and Him being testament of, you do my work, I do your work. So I was having incidents where I was feeling at work, I'm not performing well. Because I'm involved in the organization work, and, you know, I'm not performing work well at work, and what my bosses think, what would my superiors think. But what they were seeing was something very different to what I was feeling, which is Swami must have taken over meetings and presentations and talks and my work and everything, because what they were seeing is me performing to a much higher level than was expected, hence the kind of rapid promotions. So this is where Swami's jumped in, and there's a really good incident which I want to share with you, brother.
Please.
There's an incident where I was applying for a job, so within the government sector. This was a few years ago. And I was applying for this job, and I got past the first stage with the application process and the psychometric test, and I was called in for a panel interview. So traditionally, these panel interviews are known to be quite grueling and quite tough, so you have to do your homework. So I made sure I studied in advance. I prepared myself for all the expected questions, and even had backup examples to make sure that, you know, I covered all bases. I felt I was fully prepared for this interview. So the day of the interview came, and I was called in, and they said, Mr. Tankaria, please take a seat and tell us a bit about yourself. So I gave my elevated speech about me and how I'm right for the role, and why I have the credentials, and why I'm the person for this role, which lasted about 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, we'll start the formal interview now. I was okay. Now I was ready. All these questions and answers were going through my head. I was expecting them to ask me the questions, and I had the answer ready. Almost to the extent I was just bursting to give them the answer, thinking, I know this, I've got this, I know what you're going to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
So they said the first question was, Mr. Tankaria, tell us about the Satyasai International Organization.
Oh, this is for the job in the government.
Yes. And then I was just silent for a minute or so. And then they asked me the same question again. I asked them, can you repeat that question? And then they repeated the question. So they said, your CV reads that you're a member of the Satyasai International Organization. Tell me about the organization. So I started talking about the organization, and they asked me more questions. So I responded back about the organization, and they asked me some more questions. So the 45-minute interview, 30 minutes of that interview was based on Swami, his work, and his message. Everything I prepared before, nothing came in. And they said at the end that there is no need for us to proceed further. We're okay with the interview. Thank you very much. And needless to say, with Swami's divine love, I got the job. And that was Swami coming in. But the important lesson for me was, yes, you do Swami's work and he'll do your work. But you've also got to put the hard work and effort in there.
Yes, yes.
And when you put the effort and hard work, then you surrender everything to him. Yes. So going back to the Greece story, I recall the concept of just surrendering everything to him. But you got to equally just put the effort as well. You put the hard work and effort, and you do your best, and that's all we can do.
Yes.
And then it's up to Bhagwan, did Bhagwan's divine will in terms of the way forward, and we just surrender everything to him and accept whatever happens is for the benefit of us and for our goodness.
Wow. I mean, once you have done your preparations, then you can see what he has prepared for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And he's busy all the time preparing for us, but he's constantly saying, how much preparation are we doing? Wow, I think perhaps this has given you so much confidence now, right? That you can, you know, immerse yourself in Swami's work.
Yeah.
And he will definitely take care. You can leave everything in his hands, and then you'll definitely see his hand in everything, right?
Absolutely. So a common thing that I get asked all the time as the International Young Adults Coordinator is that Swami's physical form is no longer here. So how do you connect with Swami? And it's through these incidents like this where Swami is always showing his omnipresence.
Yes.
There's a beautiful incident which happened. So it's happened over the course of the last year and a half. So I went for a work assignment in Italy. And during the work assignment, on the day before I was leaving, I thought, let me just buy a souvenir as a little gift for me. So as I was looking for a souvenir, I found this African gentleman selling keychains just by one of the famous sites. So I gave him the €2 and I bought the keychain. As I bought the keychain off him, he handed back the keychain and said, Sai Ram.
Oh, so this is in Italy.
It's in Italy, an African gentleman in Italy. I had nothing to say, I'm a Sai devotee. I had no rings, no pendants, nothing to say, like, I'm a Satya Sai Baba devotee. But then this gentleman just said, Sai Ram. Last year in Italy, I was, again there, I was paying for a restaurant meal. So after I had the restaurant meal, I paid my bill, and I was just sitting there, and the lady then gave back my change and said, Sai Ram. Another incident. No rings, nothing, a different person uttering the words, just Sai Ram. And I want to recall a final incident. So this was happened in London. I was going for a work meeting. Well, I was told to represent my boss's boss at a work meeting at the very last minute. So completely unprepared, very junior compared to my senior directors in this meeting, and worried if I get asked questions, and I don't like being unprepared. So anyway, so these thoughts were going through my head, and I passed a shop on the way. I bought a bottle of water prior to this meeting. She gave me the change back, and what did she say?
Sairam.
Sairam. So this is Swami's divine love at all stages, and I wasn't actively even praying to Swami, help, 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 help.
Mm.
Swami just happened to be there. And as incidents was buying the keychain or paying the restaurant bill,
yes.
I wasn't crying for help. That's just my daily routine of things I was just doing.
Yes.
But Swami is showing His presence at every moment. So not just when we cry for help. He's constantly
even
with us.
Even if you forget me, I will never forget
absolutely,
you.
Absolutely, absolutely.
I'm always there.
And perhaps I needed that just to kind of bring me back to home.
Yes.
Say, I am with you all the time. And I'm showing I'm with you all the time.
Yes.
And I'm sure there's many people all over the world
that
if you just take a moment and just reflect, end of each day, where has Swami touched your life?
Yes.
And I can guarantee you there's been instances throughout the day without you even realizing that Swami has touched your life and that He's with you at all times.
Yes. I think at every night, if you just think about the day, everything that has happened, then perhaps you will find so many instances where so many beautiful things have just fallen into place.
Absolutely.
And you never even give it a thought.
Absolutely.
How this happened. I think that's why they say in the night you should do only two things, think and thank. Because you have to only just think of the day and just thank. Because you'll find so many instances like that. And your life now, I think, is perhaps just a testimony of this, right? Every moment now.
Mm-hmm.
And given the role now, given the different activities you'll be involved in, I think you're only going to experience this so much more in your life. It is going to be actually very glorious. It is going to be a celebration of His love and His presence in your life.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother. And I wish you all the best for this new opportunity that Bhagwan has showered you with. Like Hanuman, if our focus is on Swami and Swami and Swami alone, I'm sure He will give all the strength to cross any ocean as long as, you know, He is there in our heart. Finally, before we conclude, I know you have just come into this position, but what are your thoughts on what you think you can do in this beautiful new position that Swami has given you?
So Swami has always said how dear the youth are to Him. I quote, He said, "The future of the nation depends on the skills and sincerity of the youth. They are very dear to me, the students, the youth." So the importance of the young adults in the organization is of paramount importance. So I see a key aspect of the young adults is the unity, working alongside each and every members of the organization to strengthen the organization and Swami's work and His loving message. The international organization has many initiatives that we've got planned to engage the young adults. In fact, my international young adults committee consists of zone young adult coordinators. So young adult coordinators per zone. So I have 11 zone young adults coordinators working directly with our seniors in the organization on how to inspire the young adults and work closely with the young adults. And we've got various initiatives set up. For example, the Satyasai International Youth Leadership Program.
Yes.
So we have the International Leadership Program with Bhagwan's Divine Grace. So far we have 250 young adults from 58 countries have graduated from the program.
That's fantastic.
And this is Swami's love in action. So these young adults have now gone back into their centers, their regions, their zones internationally and spreading Swami's work and His message and working actively for the ultimate goal, which is to realize our innate divinity.
Yes.
And that's the reason why we are all here in existence. And this is the vehicle which we're giving to the young adults to work in the organization for us to realize that. And with Swami's grace this year, we have a further 450 young adults taking part in a leadership program. And many of which will be coming to Prashanthi Nilayam this November to conclude their program by partaking in a residential course and the graduation ceremony. So again, with Swami's divine love, you can see how His mission is expanding and you can see how people are going out to communities, working with others to radiate Swami's love.
Wow, I think there are already so many beautiful initiatives in the organization. You just have to only take them perhaps a little higher than where they are. That's it. Even sustaining them is itself something excitingly challenging.
No, absolutely. So one of the things we're quite keen on is to identify special projects for these young adults.
Yes.
So they're actively engaged and they're making very positive differences.
Yes.
In various aspects of the organization and their work. And helping them develop spiritually as well. Which is a fundamental aspect of the Young Adults Program.
Yeah. In fact, recently I was in Indonesia and I had the chance to interact with a lot of youth who were enrolled for this leadership program.
Okay, excellent.
Yeah, so I was asking them their feedback, and so they were, I never knew that so many youth are aspiring for this, and there was a selection procedure, and, you know, so there are youth there waiting, when will we get this chance? Mm-hmm. And whoever has got a chance, he or she knows that this is one gift that Swami has given me, and it is very, very precious for them. It was eye-opener for me to see how serious and how committed, how valuable this is to every youth who is part of this.
Absolutely. We had a very beautiful incident in 2015 when the first batch of students took part. So throughout the course of at that time it was a 5-day residential course in Prashanthi Nilayam. Over the course of the 5 days, Swami's garland on his chair grew in size.
Oh.
And it was the same garland, so we had pictures from day one, and then we had pictures from day five. And the garland came from the top half of the chair, running all the way down to the tip of the Swami's chair. We had badges of the young adults, back of badges Vibhuti was appearing.
Wow.
And I had another very beautiful incident, and this is where I was tapping into, this is my Swami, this is my Swami's face. Well, I had a prayer to Swami because we were just launching this program. And I said to Swami, I want you to show me your presence when I give a talk. And I want you to show a presence. Specifically, I want the right flower on your chair to fall.
Oh.
And that's when you show me that you're with me. And this was just a few days beforehand, and I just had this conversation, and I completely forgot the incident. So when I was giving my talk, after the talk concluded, the chairman of the Prashanthi Council, Dr. Narendra Reddy, spoke, and he said, Devyesh, I'm not sure if you realized, but whilst you're talking, Swami's flower fell, so that flower is for you. And when I looked at Swami's chair, it was a flower on his right handle which fell. So this is Swami's love. So going back to the point that every single person, it's handpicked for a specific reason.
Yeah.
For us to serve in the organization in various capacities, and not just the International Youth Leadership Program, in whatever capacities.
Yes.
It's a truly is a blessing from Devyesh Swami.
Yes.
And it's something that we should never underestimate. You know, and tying everything together from the incidents from when I was a young boy, taking my first footsteps in Prashanthi Nilayam, to the incident in Greece where Swami is showing his omnipresence and teaching me how to surrender, to the stories of the restaurant and the guy giving me keychains saying, I'm always with you, not even when you don't have to even call for me, but I'm always with you, and showing me that, you know, to various incidents throughout my life, I could confidently say that Bhagwan will always be with us at every moment, at every step, and every incident. We just got to learn to completely surrender to his divine feet and continue to do his work. And that is the secret mantra I've found. You just do his work, and there's no work, no difference between his work and your work. If you treat everything as his work, that's made my spiritual journey a lot more easier.
Yeah, I think when you treat everything as his work, then everything in your life becomes his love, a flow of his love.
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, brother, for sharing these beautiful thoughts, beautiful stories, and the beautiful insights from these stories. And I think this is something which every devotee should reflect on. As we were saying, it is happening every moment in our lives. And if we all reflect on this, then our all lives will become a saga of his love and his presence. Thank you so much, and hearty congratulations once again for this beautiful opportunity that Bhagwan has bestowed on you. Sai Ram.
Salam, brother.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Here is an important announcement. Shri Satya Sai Archives is a state-of-the-art facility built with the objective of preserving the precious messages of Bhagwan Baba for posterity. These are audio recordings such as audio tapes, spools, cassettes and gramophone records, video recordings such as VHS, SVHS, Hi8, Mini DV and HDV tapes, Betacam, DVCam, Big and Small, DigiBeta including 16mm and 8mm films. Also images, photos and negatives, color and black and white, and manuscripts, letters, articles, poems, songs, etc., all written exclusively by Bhagwan Baba. Currently, we have a very impressive collection of the above. Many of them have been donated by devotees. Before preserving these items in the custom designed vaults in the archival building, they have been digitized. This facilitates content access in electronic form and helps in spreading the message of Swami. Very few organizations in India and abroad are able to undertake this digitization work, as the necessary technology and equipment needed are no more available. With difficulty, few organizations have been identified who are willing to undertake this digitization work. This digitization work has been entrusted to Radio Sai Division. It is possible that many devotees may have in their personal possession some or all of the above items. This is to appeal to such persons to provide access to such assets for us to digitize the same. If they so desire, we could also retain them for long-term preservation with due acknowledgement process being followed. Kindly get in touch with the following for further clarification and details. Professor Sudhir Bhaskar, Director, Radio Sai Division. Sri K. Chakravarti, Member Secretary, Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Thank you and Sai Ram.
Jagadishuni, Jagadishuni, Jagadishuni. Krishna Ji.